بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ميراث الأنبياء ويب سايت is pleased to present the recording of a lesson in English titled تربية lessons from the month of Ramadan delivered by أستاذ عباس أبو يحيى حفظه الله تعالى during the blessed month of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra. We ask Allah to make it a source of benefit for all.
من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار وبعد. Welcome the dear brothers and sisters again to another lesson from the lessons of Durus al-Tarbawiyyah min Shahr Ramadan, lessons of Islamic development from the month of Ramadan, from this book by our Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad bin Ghalib al-Amri, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. And we have reached lesson number nine is a very important lesson in Islamic development of our souls and our characters and our behavior. Very important lessons which we benefit during Ramadan, this wonderful and blessed month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down for us with fasting and extra prayers and all types of good actions. So this chapter, this lesson number nine, the title is Jihadun Nafs wa Shaitan, striving of the soul and against Shaitan, striving against the soul and against Shaitan. And this is a very important matter where the Muslim, the believer, struggles, pushes himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strive against his soul and strive against this great enemy, the Shaitan. So our Sheikh Muhammad, he begins by quoting the great alim, the great mufassir, the great scholar, the one whose books, when you read them, it's like as if you're getting your heart washed and placed back into your body. The great Imam, Shaykh al-Islam al-Salafi, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, rahmatun wasi'ah. He is one of the great scholars of Islam, student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he has many, many great works and produced many, many great students. He said, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, أكمل الناس هداية أعظمهم جهادا وأفرد الجهاد جهاد النفس. The most complete of the people in guidance, the most complete of the people in guidance, and the greatest in striving in jihad, and the most obligatory jihad is jihad al-nafs. Wa jihad al-hawa, jihad of the soul. Number two, jihad al-hawa, the jihad is striving against desires. Number three, wa jihad al-shaytan, and jihad striving against the shaytan. And this is a continuous fight of good versus evil. And number four, and jihad, striving of the dunya. Striving against, you know, loving and having a place for the dunya in your heart. So these are four different types of jihad which he mentions. Ibn Qayyim mentions these four types of jihad: jihad against the soul, against desires, against the shaitan, and against the dunya and the delights and the illumination and the attractions of the dunya are many. So to struggle against loving the dunya is very, very important. So he says, فَمَنْ جَاهَدَ هَذِهِ الْأَرْبَى فِي اللَّهِ, therefore who strives and he struggles, endeavors in these four types of, for the sake of Allah, هَدَاهُ اللَّهُ سُبَلْ رِدَاءَهُ الْمُوَصِّلَ إِلَىٰ جَنَّتِهِ, then whoever strives and pushes themselves in this, then Allah guides him to the path of His pleasure, which leads to Allah's paradise. Then he said, whoever leaves off this jihad, striving, then he will be given guidance in relation to the amount that he did not strive. Whoever leaves off this jihad, then he'll be given according to the amount that he did not strive. That's how much he will be guided to Allah's path. Because he didn't strive, didn't push himself, didn't struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he quotes, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah quotes Al-Junayd. He said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ فِينَا بِالتَّوْبَةِ لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَ الْإِخْلَاصِ. Those who strove against their desires, those who strove against their desires, for the sake of Allah, with repentance. So we push ourselves. We acknowledge that there are these matters outside the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to do those things which bring us the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that make Allah happy. So we strive in those things with repentance, because we know that we were deficient in our striving. We're human, so we will have deficiency, naqs, in our striving. So we have repentance, we have tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we try to make this tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincere. We try our best with our hearts. Then the Junaid said, then we will definitely guide them to the path of ikhlas, sincerity. So the more we strive against desires, doing those things which are pleasurable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping away from those things which are haram, then Allah guides us to the path of sincerity. Then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah continues, he says, one cannot be capable of jihad, striving against the enemy, وَلَا يَتَمَكَّنْ مِنْ جِهَادَ أَدُوِهِ فِي ظَاهِرٍ إِلَّا مَنْ جَاهَدَ هَذِهِ الْعَدَى بَاطِنًا. Now one cannot be capable, he doesn't have the capability, he will not be strong in striving against the enemy. He will not be strong in striving against the enemy, outward enemy, except when he makes jihad, striving of these enemies internally. So whoever is given victory over these internal enemies, yani the desires and the wants and the negligence that a person falls into, desires and want and greed, right? Then he will be given, if whoever's given victory over these, then he will be given victory over his enemy. And when his internal enemies are given victory, then his enemy will be victorious over him. So a person has to correct himself, rectify himself, realize that this month of Ramadan is a perfect opportunity for me to become righteous, do good things, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Read Quran more. Learn about my religion more. Practice what the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. This is an opportunity. The person rectifies himself. He realizes that I used to do all these haram things, astaghfirullah, before Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, I've given them up. Now let me keep upon that and stay upon that. This is my Islamic development. Make a jihad, striving, pushing yourself. It's not easy, because the shaitan is there to whisper. And our desires are there to whisper. And our wants are there to whisper. And the distractions of the dunya are so many. Distractions of the dunya are so many that we've lost barakah, blessing in our time. We've lost blessings in our time. The barakah in our time, fi waqtina, has gone. Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimullah, he said that we find in our days that the time is going very, very fast. And it's going faster now than it was in the time before us. We find, he said, the reality is that barakah has been taken away from everything, even in our time. And this is a sign from the closeness of the final hour. This is a sign of the closeness of the Day of Judgment. So we look at how our time has gone so quickly. In our time, in this Ramadan, it's nearly finishing. It's nearly finishing. And time has gone so quick. And how little have we really achieved in this month of Ramadan. So then our Shaykh Muhammad Al-Amari, Hafizullah, says, indeed jihad, striving against the soul, jihad an-nafs, is a great jihad. Jihad an-nafs is a great jihad, and is the best way to keep upon obedience to Allah, that you strive and you fight against yourself. Those things which are difficult, you push yourself. And to escape from sinning and opposing the deen. This becomes, he says, this becomes a reality for the slave when he makes and trains his soul to be patient upon good deeds. Remember, we spoke about patience. We spoke about many, many different aspects in the previous lessons of our development, and they all come together. They all come together and they're all interlinked and they help us. And the Shaykh says, be patient upon good deeds and to keep away from evil matters and to oppose customs which are prohibited and to protect his fast from harm or to be invalidated. So a person is careful in Ramadan and he pushes himself, strives, makes jihad of the nafs, and he pushes himself with his fast. Even though he's hungry, even though he's thirsty, even though he's very, very tired. Here we would like to mention some of the ahadith which are connected to jihad an-nafs, jihad of one's own soul. From Abu Huraira radhiallahu anhu, who said, a group from the people of the desert came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some Bedouin people, and said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed the people of the Quran claim that there is no benefit in doing deeds other than hijrah and jihad in the path of Allah. And this is, subhanAllah, similar statement that these misguided individuals of the Khawarij, the Takfiris, this is the same argument they bring. They say that there is nothing left for us except for hijrah and jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they are talking about an offensive jihad against the enemy, but they don't understand, they don't have the fiqh, the correct methodology, the correct manhaj in implementing the correct jihad, the outward jihad against the enemy. Because Islam is not a religion of chaos. Islam is a religion of ilm, knowledge, and it has rules and regulations. jihad against the enemy can only be done upon the manhaj al-nabuwa, the prophetic methodology. These terrorists like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these other terrorist groups and the people who affiliate to them, they have no fiqh whatsoever. They don't have any understanding whatsoever, and they have no rules and regulations. Rather, they're just bloodthirsty individuals who just want to spill the blood of the Muslims. So this is the same argument they bring, that all we have to do, all we can do is hijrah and jihad in the path of Allah. So what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, the best of creation? What did the Prophet of Allah say? He said, haythuma kuntum, wherever you are, fahsantum ibadatullah, and if you were good in the worship of Allah, faabshiru bil jannah, then receive the glad tidings of paradise. This is a hadith that Shaykh al-Albani has made the chain hasan in silsila sahiha. Haythuma kuntum, wherever you are, fahsantum ibadatullah, and if you were good in the worship of Allah, then receive, faabshiru bil jannah, then receive the glad tidings of paradise. This is the advice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have these people who are youngsters, who are still copying the ways of the kuffar, of these Hollywood evil stars and Hollywood actors and actresses, evil actresses and evil actors, and these people who are evil rappers and into the music industry, these evil shaitanic people, and they still follow them in their fashion, and yet they claim to say, this is what we need to do, we need to kill the Muslims. This is their manhaj and their da'wah, and it's happening even in the lands of the Muslims, that these foolish people are causing chaos in the lands of the Muslims and making it difficult for the Muslims to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another hadith from Abu Dharr radhiyallahu anhu said, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the best jihad? Which is the best jihad? The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, afdalul jihad an tujahid nafsak. Subhanallah, look at that. Afdalul jihad an tujahid nafsak wa hawa'ak fi dhatillah azza wa jal. The best jihad is the jihad against his own soul and his desires for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this hadith that Shaykh al-Albani graded Hassan in Silsila Sahiha. And Shaykh al-Albani brings other hadith as well regarding this. However, there is a weak hadith which the people of Sufism, the people of Sufiya, the Jama'at Tabliq, they use this this deviant sect group, they use this hadith, they say, Raja'na min al jihad al asghar ila jihad al akbar. We have returned from the minor jihad to the major jihad. Yani they claim that, you know, jihad an-nafs is the major jihad. We're not saying it's the major jihad. Please don't misunderstand. The physical jihad, which is taken on with the ruler, the Muslim ruler, which is organized when the conditions are met, that is the major jihad. The Sheikh, the Prophet said the best jihad. But they claim from jihad al-askar ila jihad al-akbar, yani jihad al-nafs, that is the major jihad. No. And this hadith that they quote, Shaykh al-Islam said that there is la asla lahu, that this hadith has no foundation. And Shaykh al-Albani regarded it munkar because it contradicted the authentic hadith. So there is a jihad, a physical jihad, and that physical jihad is taken with the Muslim ruler when the conditions are met correctly. And it's not chaotic or with these terrorist organizations and groups. But the jihad of the nafs, jihad of the soul, is the jihad that we have to do first. It's the jihad that we have to do first. And our Sheikh Muhammad, he said, And the scholar who most wonderfully spoke about the jihad of the nafs, striving against the soul, struggling against your desires and the shaitan, he said, was Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, subhanallah. And he quoted him again. And the books of Shaykh Islam Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, you can find some of them in English. And they are masterpieces. Any book of his you pick up, like the books of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, any of those books you pick up are masterpieces. They are books that will change your life. They will develop your character, they will develop your life, and they will change you if you read those books, because, subhanallah, their source of knowledge was the Kitab, was Sunnah, wala manhaj salaf al-Ummah. The source of knowledge where Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim took their works, they wrote their works upon, was the Kitab, the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and understood and implemented on the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, the first three generations. So when people come along and they quote Quran and they quote Hadith, yes, we accept that. But we understand it and we accept it in the correct methodology, the correct way. How did Aisha radhiallahu anha understood the Hadith? She quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she mentions the Hadith and she quotes the Hadith. So how can anybody come along now and how dare they say that, yes, we have this opinion and we do what we want. How dare they say that we can do what we want when we have Aisha radhiallahu anha, the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that he loved the most out of his women folk, the mother of the believers, explaining something to us and we choose to follow something else. We have Umar radhiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa of the Muslims, the strongest of the Muslims after Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa, the one who aided the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk and it would be Abu Bakr on one side and Umar on one side. They would be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar radhiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar radhiallahu anhu decides something, he mentions something, and people come along and say, no, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to do the opposite of Umar radhiallahu anhu. How can they quote the hadith and the ayat and follow somebody else? Followed by somebody else other than the Sahaba. They're following their own opinions. They are not upon the way of the Salaf. They are not Salafi. Because if you're Salafi, you follow the path of the Salaf. You look at the evidences and see how. Yes, there will be differences of opinion. Yes, there will be there are differences of opinion in Ramadan, in the Taraweeh, in the prayer and everything. So what do? We go back to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the way of the Salaf and the authentic narrations. Don't come along and just quote just general opinions and sayings. We are Salafi. We are upon the methodology of the Sahaba. Or is it just a claim that we'll make? We follow the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did they do with authentic narrations? And we find that their authentic narrations, this is what we follow. So this is the Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Jawziyah, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah. So Ibn Qayyim rahimullah said, jihad and nafs, striving against the soul, takes precedence over the jihad against the enemy outwardly. Jihad and nafs, striving against the soul, takes precedence. It has to come first. Because if you're not correct and good and strong, how are you going to fight the enemy? You hear about people going off to fight jihad, yeah, the physical jihad, and yet they're smoking, they're listening to rap music, they don't even know about the prayer, they haven't corrected themselves, they haven't done anything, and yet they claim to go out and they haven't learned any of the rules, the regulations of the jihad, and they cause more fitna and chaos and corruption and spilling of the blood of the Muslims, haram thing, which they will be accountable on the Day of Judgment, and perhaps they may even enter hellfire forever because they've come from the Khawarij, as one of the opinions is, that the Khawarij are those who have exited the religion of Islam Whereas the correct opinion is, or strongest opinion is, that they're still Muslims, but they're evil Muslims, and they will be punished in the hellfire if Allah wants. So how can a person do jihad if they haven't done jihad of nafs? And Ibn Qayyim said, and it is the foundation for jihad. Jihad of nafs, striving against yourself, striving against, struggling and wanting to do that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the foundation for jihad. He said, since indeed whoever does not make jihad of his own self, firstly, in that the soul does what he has been ordered with, and he pushes himself, his soul, to do that which he has been ordered with, and leaves off that what has been prohibited from, and also that the person wars against his soul for the sake of Allah, then it is not possible for him to make jihad against his enemy outwardly. So how can a person, Sheikh Ibn Qayyim says, so how can a person make jihad against his enemy and be fairly treated whilst the enemy which is in his body is overwhelming him, you know, his soul, his evil soul, his bad heart is overwhelming him and overpowering him while he has not striven against this enemy and not warred against him for the sake of Allah. In fact, he cannot go out against his external enemy until he makes jihad against his nafs, his own self, upon being able to go out. These two enemies have trialed the slave. Okay? These two enemies have trialed the slave. The enemy of his soul and the enemy of the outward enemy. Okay, these are two enemies. Okay, his soul and his outward enemy. They have tried the slave with their jihad. And also between these two enemies, Ibn Qayyim is saying, between these two enemies, the enemy of the soul, the enemy of the external enemy, is a third enemy, subhanallah, a third enemy, which he cannot possibly make jihad against. These two, until he makes jihad of these, this third enemy. So now he's got three enemies. An enemy of his soul, loving desires, not loving what Allah loves. Okay? This enemy of the soul. The enemy, the external physical enemy. The kuffar, the munafiqeen, the shayateen, the munafiqeen, and the kuffar. And now he has a third enemy. Ibn Qayyim builds up to who this enemy is. He says, this enemy stands between these two types of jihad and prevents and hinders a slave from making jihad against the other two enemies, soul and outward enemy. This enemy forsakes a person and spreads lies and rumors and continues to make a person imagine that there is a great hardship in making jihad against these two types of enemies. Yeah, the jihad of the nafs and the jihad of the kuffar. And that it will cause a person to lose his provision, his sustenance and his income. And he will miss out on delights and matters of desires. This is what the soul does. The soul makes us think that if I give up all these delights and pleasures of the dunya, I will lose out. If I do that which Allah wants me to do, then I will lose out. But it's not the case. If you do that which was for Allah, Allah gives you even more and better. He said, Ibn Qayyim said, it is not possible for a person to make jihad against these two enemies except by making jihad against this third enemy. He said, therefore, the jihad against this enemy is the foundation of making jihad of the other two enemies. And that enemy is the shaitan. He says, and that enemy is the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوءٌ. Surely shaitan is an enemy to you. فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوًا. So take him as an enemy. In Surah Fatir, Ayah 6. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا. Yani he's an enemy to us. He is the third enemy that the Ibn Qayyim was talking about. He is the third enemy. He is the one that we have to take as an enemy. He is the one who's stopping us from striving against our soul, making jihad of the nafs. He is the one that's making us keep away from jihad of the kuffar. But we can't do one without the other. And the foundation is jihad and nafs. Then the Sheikh goes on, Ibn Qayyim says, so the matter of regarding the shaitan as an enemy is built upon applying oneself completely, complete effort, trying one's best, and having the capability to fight against him, the shaitan, and strive against him like he's an enemy. The shaitan does not become laxed. It doesn't waver. It doesn't become restful. Yeah, it doesn't give up, and it does not refrain from warring against the slave due to the amount of a breath one takes, even to that amount. You know, all the time that you're breathing, yeah, the shaitan is warring. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. Distractions, temptations, all these type of things. Different matters which shaitan brings. And we know that the paths, Ibn Qayyim mentions in another book, he mentions that the paths of shaitan are three. One, going to extreme and extra, yani wastage and extra, going to extreme, okay? The second is negligence. Second is negligence, yani being negligent of following the truth and the haq. And the third one is overburdening oneself, going to an extreme and overburdening oneself. These are some of the pathways of the shaitan. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah actually has a book like that, the deceptions and the tricks of shaitan. And so does Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah, another scholar, Iblis, the deception of the shaitan and how he fools the people. So Ibn Qayyim says, he says, so there are three enemies. The slave has been ordered with warring against them and make jihad against them. And he has been trialed with warning against them in this world. And these three enemies have been given authority to impose and pressure a person as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person can turn around and say, why has Allah sent me this? Why Allah has made me have to make jihad against my soul, against the kuffar, against the shaitan, as a trial for that person. So Allah gives the slave, so Ibn Qayyim says, so Allah gives the slave help, tools, and aiders and weapons for this jihad of the soul. And likewise, Allah gives his enemies help and tools and aiders and weapons. And one of these two groups will be trialed by the other. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً, and we have made some of you as a trial for others. So that they could be trialed and tested. And Allah will trial those who follow the shaitan and follow the shaitan's messengers, and those who follow the shaitan and his party, his group. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ibn Qayyim quotes this ayah, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. And we have made some of you as a trial for others. Will you have patience? Will you have patience? Will you have that sabr? And your Lord is ever all-seer of everything. Surah Furqan, ayah 20. So this is the development that our soul needs. The dars al-tarbawi, the lesson of development our soul needs, which is to have patience against the shaitan, by striving in following that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do with and recommended and told us to do, and keeping away from that which Allah has prohibited for us, and striving against our souls and the shaitan. With that, we've come to the end of this lesson, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and capability to make jihad of our souls, our nafs, in striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give a great reward to our Shaykh for mentioning these points and these benefits. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for patience in this month of Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Anta astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد.